Please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
36 members present.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Pessinger is excused from the call of the House today, and Representative Furness after 4 p.m. Also, the body will please note that Representative Barnes is ill this morning.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Arthur Knight, Douglas Community United Methodist Church.
Lord, this house has now been meeting for nearly 6 months. It's not been an easy time for its members. By now, all of them have had to test their hopes, their ideas, and their goals in the crucible of this process which someone has described as the art of the possible. All have seen some success and some failure, found some reason for pride, some for humiliation. It is the way of our system. We pray now that out of all the debate, out of all the work, out of the triumphs and the defeats may come no lasting bitterness, no seething need for vengeance or advantage. Even as we recognize that 40 persons may have 40 different points of view, we pray that you will keep brightly before them the goal of good for this state, and that you will help all of them to move steadily toward that beacon. Amen.
Representative Szymanski.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 149th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 149th day.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 149th legislative day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Cowdery.
Yes, I would like to welcome some visitors in Gallery B. There's four generations of a family. The great-grandfather, Robert Bolger, he's 87 years young from San Diego, California. His daughter, Arlene Marshall, from Penn Valley, California. His granddaughter, Joyce Sikorsky, from Saldotna. She's a professional musician and last year recorded and orchestrated an album, Remember the Prisoners, and also orchestrated the birth of another great-granddaughter, who is 48 hours old, I think.
Oh.
Her name is Adriana Teresa Sikorsky, with a new sister and brother of Dawning Star and Adam in Gallery B.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I have a guest, a visitor from Florida, who is also a cousin of a friend of mine, Emil Noddy, Mr. Robert Noddy, who has also just returned on the first leg of the Cunard Princess voyage that came down from Whittier and has reported it's been a beautiful trip and an excellent advancement in our tourism industry, and I'd like you to all welcome him. He's in Gallery A.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate concurred in the House amendments to the committee substitute for Senate Bill 132, State Affairs, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132, State Affairs, amended House, an act establishing the Alaska Administrative Journal with an effective date. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 165, rules amended, thus adopting House committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 165, transportation, an act relating to racing events on public highways. The Senate failed to recede from its amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 312, Judiciary, namely Senate committee substitute for House Bill 312, Judiciary amended Senate, harming a police dog effective date. The President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the bills: Senator Ray Chairman, Senator Ziegler, and Senator Pettyjohn. The House members are Adams, Hurlburt, and Clarkson. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill Number 103, Judiciary, establishing a Department of Corrections and transferring certain functions of the Department of Health and Social Services to the Department of Corrections with an effective date with the following amendments: Senate committee substitute for House Bill 103, Finance, amended Senate with the same title, and it is returned for consideration. This will be in limbo. I think the bill hasn't been printed yet, but it will be up soon. The Senate has passed and returned committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 10, Judiciary, an act relating to imitation controlled substances. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed and returned House Concurrent Resolution Number 29, encouraging the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to use calcium magnesium acetate as an ice and dust control agent. This resolution has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration: committee substitute for Senate Bill 224, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the establishment of prison facilities.
The Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 224 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Dr. Arthur Wilson, Sr., by Representatives McBride and Wente and Senator Ziegler. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill Number 243 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act modifying or abolishing some common law property rules. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 243 under consideration, recommends that it do pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Clarkson, Barnes, Malone, and Bussell. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill Number 243 be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill Number 243 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission, an act modifying or abolishing some common law property rules.
So debate. Representative Wente.
Mr. Speaker, before the representative from Chicken makes this bill perfectly clear, I would like to, and I notice one of our barristers is gone, I'd like to request that the other professional on the floor please explain what we're doing with this bill.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'll defer that question to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, if the representative from Ketchikan had been present in the Judiciary Committee when the committee heard this, well, it would have been perfectly clear with him, as he has an excellent memory. But his attendance there has been a little irregular throughout the session. However, this bill abolishes some old common law rules, particularly as they pertain to the methods by which inheritance is handled in the state. In part of it, and the next part of it, runs along the same lines in how you write your own wills or control your own fortune after you leave this world. And the last part of it abolishes a rule called Shelley's case, which the Code Review Commission told us they weren't sure whether it actually applied in the state of Alaska or not, but that it's not a good rule anyway, so they'd like to make it perfectly clear that they don't want it to apply here either. The language in the bill is such as it is because it pertains to laws that predate most of America's recorded history, and it's the language that Code Review Commission and its experts feel is necessary to remove them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 243 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, we lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, we take the roll.
37 yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill 243 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Evelyn M. Reddick, by Representatives Hayes, Lindauer, Zemanski, Liska, Fritz, and Phillips.
Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, I move the citations. I further move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown as co-sponsors of this citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, all other members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors of the citation. Is there objection to approval of the citation? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Mark Levitt by Senator Gilman and Senator P. Fisher.
Representative Abood.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown also as co-sponsors of this citation and move the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, all other members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors of the citation. Is there objection to the approval of the citation? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation honoring the International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots and Inland Boatmen's Union by Senators Ziegler and Ray, Kurtula, Vic Fisher, and Moss, Representatives Pestinger, Cato, Wente, Zemanski, Liska, Grusendorf, Jaroff, Vaska, and Gall.
Representative Abood.
Speaker, I move the citation and ask that all members of the House be shown as co-sponsors of this citation.
Is there objection to the motion?
Objection.
There is objection. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I had to give my 2 cents worth on this here. First, I'd like to say remember the Columbia that a couple weeks ago ran the ground. Secondly, remember the Take Who, 1980, it ran into the piers, destroyed it, Petersburg, I believe. And most important, what I have always found very offensive, remember the garbage being dumped overboard almost every day on those ships.
Is there a further objection to the motion to show all other members of the House as co-sponsors? Hearing none, clerk, please note that all other members of the House are co-sponsors. Is there objection to the motion to approve the citation? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the into today's calendar. Will the House please stand at ease? Next item of business is unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Miller.
Speaker, on the assumption that we might not get around to special orders today because of the recess motion that I expect the majority leader to place, I'll just announce under unfinished business that I again thank the acting majority leader for bringing to my attention that I have been negligent in telling people how many requests, applications for permanent fund dividends have come in. I estimated yesterday it's probably 220,000 to 225,000, Mr. Speaker, as you can see from my little chart here. 270,000 Alaskans have applied for their permanent fund dividends, which I think is a significant number of people who think it's a pretty good program.
Representative Abood, are you under unfinished
business? Unfinished business, sir. In response to the minority leader's suggestion, and I'm very happy to have been able to keep him on his toes, number one. And number two, I'm glad to see that the money is expended throughout the department is getting some kind of results. Thank you.
It's my intention to go down through special orders and then ask the majority leader for a recess motion to 115 so that we'll have the opportunity of receiving the message from the other body relating to the budget, and hopefully we'll be in a position to appoint a conference committee at that time. Is there further unfinished business? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, there'll be a House Republican meeting, minority meeting, tomorrow at 9 a.m. in the Belts Room. That's June 16th.
Representative Abboud, under announcements.
Mr. Speaker, the House State Affairs Committee will have a hearing on Thursday, June 16th at 1 p.m. in the State Affairs Room. The agenda will be sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 174, an act relating to employment preferences for state residences, and committee substitute for Senate Bill 137, finance amended, an act requiring certain public officers and employees who engage in lobbying to comply with the regulation of lobbying act. I'd like to ask them to be prompt, and this is all predicated on the idea that the budget will come over. If not, it'll be delayed another 2 days. Thank you.
Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Tischer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish the privilege of the floor to speak on our United States and Alaska flag.
You have the floor, Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In this morning's paper, or I should say the paper dated June 14th, in Section C, it's a very nice full-paged display of what to do with our flag, how to respect it, if that's what we need a lesson in, and a history of what the flag means. Yesterday was Flag Day throughout the country, and I'm embarrassed, first of all, for not having brought that to the attention of the body myself, but I'm pleased to see that all the newspapers noted that yesterday was Flag Day, and it's a rather reverent day for those of us who have patriotism in our hearts. But, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to draw the body's attention to something that bothered me considerably, yesterday especially, because as I was looking out my window passing by my desk at a little after 5 o'clock, I noticed the two flags across the street from my office being lowered as they are every day, and I know that we have on occasion criticized the administration for not seeing to it that our flag was flying every day. And shock and disgust passed over me when I saw those two flags lowered and draped around the individual's back, around his neck, one after another, and toted off like a rag. I myself felt disgust and embarrassment that no one here in that we can identify knows how to treat our flag with respect. It behooves us all, I think, to remind ourselves of things that that flag stands for, both on our state level and our national level. And in the paper, I'd like to just quote George Washington, as it is quoted here in the paper. It says, "We take the stars from heaven and the red from our mother country, separating it with white stripes, thus showing that we have separated from her, and the white stripes shall go down to posterity, representing liberty." In addition, it says, quoting Henry Ward Beecher, who pointed out in the 19th century, that a thoughtful mind, when it sees a national flag, sees not the flag only, but the nation itself. He wrote, He reads chiefly in the flag the government and the government, the principles, the truth, the history that belongs to the nation that sets it forth. Mr. Speaker, I wish we could take back the actions of yesterday afternoon that I saw across the road. But I think that it would, my message this morning is perhaps heard by that individual that should treat that flag when he lowers it with more respect. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Abboud.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on history repeats itself.
You have the floor, Representative Abboud.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, in 1214, the Magna Carta was signed. I'd like to take you back for a little bit, back into the reason behind it. This was a grant of liberties extorted from King John of England, 1199 to 1216. The charters of 1225 became the accepted version and were placed at the beginning of all medieval collections of English statutes. English kings had striven to develop their power at the expense of the feudal class. The barons had opposed this process and risen occasionally in open revolt. And the late 12th and early 13th century was a period of rising prices in which the cost of government also increased rapidly, and the incomes of those who drew their revenues directly from the land also increased. And the feudal class as a whole was steadily growing richer, but as most royal revenues were fixed by custom, it was difficult for the king to tap the new wealth, and John tried every means. He abused his feudal rights by demanding exorbitant reliefs when heirs inherited their father's fiefs, and it goes on to many other things he did. But also John also continually expanded the jurisdiction and hence the revenues of the royal courts at the expense of the baronial courts. In short, while the general John followed the policies, while in general John followed the policies set by his predecessors, he did so with extraordinary vigor and with little regard for protest. And at the same time, John aroused the personal enmity of many of his barons. He was both cruel and licentious. But perhaps John's chief fault was that he trusted no one, and hence no one trusted him. And in January 1215, the rebellious barons conferred in London with their king, who listened to their grievances and promised to give them an answer by Easter. Between January and June 1215, his policy was extremely complicated. He had no intention, Mr. Speaker, of surrendering any of the royal authority, and it was certain that eventually he could crush his foes. But only a small part of the four-fifths of the English baronage not in the rebel ranks was willing to support the king actively, since most of the barons disliked both parties and remained neutral. Hence, John sent agents to Flanders and Aquitaine to hire mercenary troops. He also sent men throughout England to place the royal castles in a state of defense. Then he dispatched messengers to Pope Innocent III, whose vassal he was, to complain of the behavior of the barons. At the same time, the king engaged in more or less continuous negotiations with the rebels. And the barons committed their first overact of rebellion in April. Now, these barons knew that John was mustering troops, and he would soon have an army which they could not meet in the field. And the capture of London was the victory in which won the Magna Carta. On June 15th, 1215, King John and his supporters met the rebels' leaders on a meadow called Runnymede. Under the Articles of Barons, provisions of the Magna Carta fall naturally into three groups: relations between king and his vassals, the royal administration. Now, the king's quarrel with the barons and the resulting revolt, that's what really happened at that point. The 12th chapter provides that no scutage or aid could be levied without the common council of our realm. But the most significant clause is chapter 39, which states that no free man can be arrested, imprisoned, deprived of his property, outlawed, exiled, or in any way destroyed by legal judgment of his peers by the law of the land. It was a guarantee of due process of law. The concept of government limited by law was implicit in the feudal system. Every feudal lord was subject to the law made in this court. Magna Carta makes this explicit for the Kingdom of England. Thus, the principles of limited monarchy and individual liberties are embedded in the Magna Carta. I would just conclude, Mr. Speaker, John also continually expanded the jurisdiction and hence the revenues of the court orders at the expense of the courts. In short, while in general John followed these, I've already read that. I just want to bring to your attention, Mr. Speaker, that clear back 1225, we come in with the same identical situation that the governor of this state was forced on the House of Representatives, and it just seems a crime that we've got to go through that whole history again just to bring it back to the Magna Carta, which this whole English nation was founded on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the moral of that story is if you're a feudal baron, you can't use the John.
Further special orders? Representative Abood, a motion to recess until 1:15.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess to the call of the chair. Until 1:15 this afternoon.
Is there objection?
Object, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Vasca?
What's the purpose of recessing until 1:15?
I thought I explained that. Perhaps you were off the floor. You were in the John. We're recessing until 1:15, anticipating receiving the budget message from the other body so that we can appoint our conference committee and move ahead with the session. Unless there is objection maintained to the motion to recess, the House stands in recess until 1:15 this afternoon. Will the House please come back to order? I'd like to establish a quorum call. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
36 members present.
Without objection, I'd like to move back up the daily order of calendar to unfinished business to deal with the limbo file. We have on your desk a message from the Senate dealing with House Bill 105, the bill that we sent to them some time ago dealing with the budget. I'm going to ask the Majority Leader for a motion to concur in the Senate amendments, I believe, and to ask members to vote no so that we can appoint a conference committee. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for Senate for House Bill 105, Finance, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 105. Finance, amended Senate, and ask that the members vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 105, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I concur in the Majority Leader's recommendations, and since that's unusual, I'd like to give the House the reasons why I do. Speaker, one of the things that's incorporated in the Senate edition of the budget, Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 105, is the first time by the Alaska Legislature a raid on the Alaska Permanent Fund. In the Senate, in excess of $150 million is appropriated from the undistributed income account, the averaging account used to average the earnings of the fund for the purposes of increasing the state budget. Speaker, I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to take everything that's not nailed down and spend it to increase the state budget. I don't think we're going to solve the financial or other problems facing state government by increasing the state budget. The other reason, Mr. Speaker, is that the Senate bill does contain an appropriation for the payment of the 1983 permanent fund dividends. And while I'm in favor of that,
Speaker, I think the appropriation level that's set in the Senate bill, and there was no appropriation in the House version of that bill, is too low. Information that I have shows that the permanent fund earnings will be substantially higher than what the earlier projections showed, and that the effect of adopting the Senate figure for the 1983 dividends is probably to cost every Alaskan someplace between $75 and $100 in their dividends this year. Speaker, I propose to the Senate members, and specifically the Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, that there might be another way to approach that, since we don't make that calculation until the end of the fiscal year. But at any rate, that's an issue that does need to be addressed in the legislation and done in conference, so that the dividends that would be payable for 1983 are not artificially reduced, and that would be the effect of adopting. Substitute for House Bill 105.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 105 Finance, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 105 Finance, amended Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Clerk, please open the roll. Has any other member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
No yeas, 36 nays.
The House has failed to concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 105 Finance. At this time, I'm going to appoint a conference committee to deal with a like committee and the other body, consisting of Representative Adams, Chairman, Representative Bettesworth, and Representative Duncan. Will the House please stand at ease? I'd like to bring your attention to your limbo file. There are, as of today, four bills and one resolution. You'd look those over before tomorrow. Appreciate it. We plan to deal with those tomorrow. Is there further business to come before the body? Representative Miller?
No. Mr. Speaker, the House Democratic Caucus will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the Bethlehem Room.
Representative Abood.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a House Majority Coalition meeting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under unfinished business.
Yes, you have the floor, Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources Committee has a couple of bills that we would like to waive. So with that, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we'd be allowed to waive SB 81, Act making special appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the to fund the Task Force on Fire Prevention. And the other bill with it is SB 80, amending the statutes extending the life of Task Force for Fire Prevention and Control.
What's the next committee of referral?
Finance.
And has it had a previous hearing? We had a similar bills on the House side, is that it?
I'm not sure if it went to CNRA or not. It's through the Community and Regional Affairs Department. I'm not sure if it had a referral on that or not.
Is your objection to waiving Senate Bill 80 and 81 to the Finance Committee? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there further business to come before the body? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, June 16, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.